Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that buys its jokes wholesale. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
We're always playing catch-up, as you know. It's time to lock in our Oscar picks, and Adam continues to filibuster Shane's nominee for Secretary of Our Interior.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, Scope fans, episode 137. Boy, I'm just having trouble with my levels on my headphones here.
You'll just never be happy.
I'm never satisfied, Jared.
You're going to have to make it work.
I'm doing my best. It's our President's Day special where we go through every single president and tell you their pros and cons and what they've done for and against the country.
I think you'll be surprised by my argument for Millard Fillmore.
If you live in Northeast Minneapolis or various other areas, you may know the order of presidents based on the streets.
I did not know that. Is that true?
Yeah.
That is something special. So
fantastic.
Where's Obama Avenue?
Well,
haven't quite got that far, huh?
After Bush 2 Avenue?
Yeah, that's probably,
it's in the works.
Somewhere out in Wisconsin. That's
how
far out it is.
His new public works program actually is making an Obama Avenue.
I like it. City. It rolls off the tongue.
Excellent.
Well, guys, we do have catch up to do, as Jared teased in the opening segment.
That happens when we go like 3 weeks between episodes. There's always things that happen.
There is.
We got to get caught up.
Just lost my pen cap in my lap.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Bad news.
Oh, do I need to stall for time, Shane? Here.
This is absolutely worthless.
Stall for time.
Oh, wait.
Keep going.
I ran out of stuff.
You really...
Bitches.
I like the OCD of your pen cap.
Standing over here in the corner, touching
every step has been a life-changing.
The score is... 2.75 stars.
What?
Sadly, that's the best segment we've ever done on this show. So we are playing catch up, but it's something I got to talk to you guys about first. I am deep in the heart of buying a new car, Adam.
Are you?
Yeah.
We've talked about it the past couple times.
It's time to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
My current car, I've sort of had the mindset that I was going to drive it until I absolutely had to repair it. And we're starting to get to that point.
Yeah.
Along with the fact...
How much mileage are we looking at?
Believe it or not, it's a 98, and I've only got 102,000 miles on it.
You just don't go on trips with it, right?
I drive it to work, I drive it back, and then if I'm doing something where Carrie is also doing something in her car, then I will drive my car.
And this one is a Ford
Contour,
right?
It's a Ford Contour. It served me well, but...
Do they make that anymore?
They don't know.
You're not going to get a 2012 Ford Contour?
No, this might be one of the last years they made that car, actually. We're getting to the point now where it's had a known transmission problem.
Yeah,
It's something where if you drive and then you get on the freeway and you're going 55 or over, sometimes when you get off of the freeway and you slow down, as it changes gears, it hits like the car just jerks, and you can reset it by turning the car off. So I just get to a stoplight, turn it off, turn it on, and it goes away.
All right.
And I talked through
it's too bad you did. If you had a manual, you could just do that while rolling down the freeway.
Yes. And I didn't really know.
You really could. Not that you'd want to.
It's one of those things, like, how do you figure out how to deal with that? Like, right. I remember it happening for the first time and getting freaked out, and I don't know why I turned it off and turned it back on, but... You know, our human brains work in such a manner that eventually I figured it out.
Yeah, you were doing your flow chart of how to fix a problem, and you know, with a router, you unplug it and plug it back in. Right?
So. Yeah, and it worked out.
We call that cycling the power in the business.
I think that's a good one. I also have, what else? I've got a small oil leak in the car, so sometimes you can smell burning oil if you are.
Sure.
But it's just fairly common.
It's not terrible for 100,000 miles.
No.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's just started to happen now is brakes, so you can hear a little bit of brake action as you're pushing down on
which is
the
standard
pedal.
Maintenance anyway, but if you add it to the pile of issues,
so
the
car is probably worth $1,500, $2,000 in pristine condition. So to sink in, you know, $3,000 or $4,000, especially if you do the transmission or you'd have to do the entire thing. It's just totally not worth it.
Yeah.
So
you know that the manufacturers have cars that will go for 500,000 miles, no problem, but they don't want you to have it.
I have no doubt about that.
They also run on good wishes and smiles.
That's right. And water.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. So the other thing is that I have
rust-free and hover cars, which we've been wanting
I
forever.
I love the hover cars, and they won't give it to us.
No, they won't.
The hover cars,
Obama.
It's Obama Avenue all over again. The other thing is I have a credit card where I can apply points to getting a new car, certain brands. So I can get a $2,000 discount on any new Chevrolet new car.
Okay.
So I'm.
You want to buy a new car? Or you.
Well, here's the thing. As you guys know, we went through something called a recession.
I've heard of it.
And that impacted greatly our automobile manufacturing and automobile purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
So the price of getting a used car isn't that much less than getting a new car. I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, within...
Did you crunch the numbers?
I've crunched a lot. Trust me, I've crunched a lot of numbers.
All right.
And so it's a matter of a few thousand dollars. So if you take this discount that I would get anyway, that would pretty much negate any positive about getting a used car.
Yep.
So for me, getting a affordable new car is probably the way to go.
I'm just sort of on the new car train. I know that they're more expensive, but I like the idea of getting something that's fresh, brand new, has a warranty.
No one's fucked in it yet?
No.
Yeah.
You save that for me in my hand.
I want to be the inaugural fucker in my car. I'm just saying.
Who doesn't? So, yeah, I mean, here's the other thing about myself. I've never had a new car in my life. I've never had a car payment.
Mm-hmm.
So Carrie,
wow.
I've never had a car.
That's amazing.
With Carrie's car, her newish car that we got, it was used, but pretty close to new. That we had a car payment on that. So we just paid that off. And now I think I'm ready to have a monthly payment for 4 or 5 years.
What are you targeting?
How much to pay a month?
Yeah.
Ideally,
I hope they don't have any car salesmen listening to this. You don't want to tell them that.
Ideally, I'm looking at about $250 a month based on what the car costs, what I can put down for a down payment.
How's your credit? You going to get 0% APR?
I have perfect credit.
All right.
So if I wanted 0%, I could get it. I've already got a loan lined up through my credit union, so I can get it for 189, which is pretty good for a new car that's not any of those special dealership financing. I don't like all the shit that they put you through. So I'd almost rather say fuck you. I'll take my credit union and not have to deal with your bullshit.
Less than 2% on a, you know, whatever, $20,000 or whatever you're going to get car is not that much money.
It's nothing.
It's not a house.
It's not a house. Exactly. It's it's the
over a 5-year term. It's not a huge deal.
No, it really isn't. So the other thing with this credit deal that I'm dealing with is it has to be before the end of this month. It expires at the end of February. So
mm-hmm.
I'm on the hot seat right now to make sure that this is going to happen.
You got less than 2 weeks, son.
It's the shortest month.
Well, I mean, trust me, these guys would get you in a car tomorrow.
Yesterday.
They would come into the Scope Studios and have me sign papers while we're talking about our Oscar predictions.
I don't have enough microphones.
What
so.
Do we have to do to get you into a car?
That's
today?
Exactly it. I mean, and I did a lot of research, and you know, there's always like the combative methodology for taking on these guys, where you never let them, you never give them an inch. You've got to fight them tooth and nail. So what I did was I sent out an email blast or whatever you call it, like a quote request on like newcar.com or something like that. And then they send it out to 4 local dealers, and then you just sort of wait for them to come back. And I'm not kidding you. When that email went out, I had a phone call on my phone in under a minute.
Wow.
That's how quickly one place got to me. And here's what they like to do. They like to get you in fast. They don't like to give you quotes over the phone. And they are going to sweat you out, and they're going to make it so you don't talk to anybody else. And they're going to be the ones that give you the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to compete with about 4 or 5 different guys and how they do business to try to at least get a price.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they don't – they never, ever tell you what tax, title, and license is going to be. It's always the manufacturer retail price.
Sure.
And they don't ever talk about that. That's just sort of forgotten. And here in Minnesota, for the car I want to get – that's about $1,600. That's another, you know, $1,500 on top of the price.
It's Obama.
It's Obama again. So here's the deal. I haven't gone in and talked to anybody. I sort of know what the lowest advertised price I've seen, but I don't know. I just don't know if it's going to be possible to get these jokers underneath underneath that price. Because I see, what they tell you you're supposed to do is you're supposed to research and find out what they actually paid for the car, and then that's your baseline.
Sure.
But the what they paid for the car isn't that far off of what they're advertising it for. So I just don't know if I'm going to get some spectacular deal. Like my dad got the 2012 version of the car I'm looking for last year. He got a really, really good deal. The other problem is that he bought a stick shift.
They make those?
Yep. And it's that's much cheaper. And my wife absolutely refuses.
My wife, yes.
She doesn't want a stick shift because she can't drive it.
So it does hurt your resale value, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a manual, but I like driving a manual.
Yeah.
But I think on my next car, I may actually get an automatic, maybe. I don't know.
I like dozing off to sleep and when I'm driving, and I can't do that with the stick. So automatic is the only way for me.
Right. I think cruise control is something I really miss in this car that I have.
I have cruise control. I never use it.
You don't take road trips, though.
I mean, I take two road trips a year, essentially.
So. I use cruise control on the way to work and home.
See?
And the speed limit is 30 miles per hour all the way there.
I don't miss it unless I'm driving to Omaha, and then it's like, oh, God, where's the cruise control?
Then you want it.
Because it's just open stratus. But anyway, we're getting off topic.
Well, for what I'm looking for bonuses on the car is one thing. I want to be able to hook my phone into my car. I want to be able to charge it. I want a USB. I want to be able to hook it into the radio.
Sure.
And with
if it's going to be new, just get Bluetooth because then you won't have to worry about cables and stuff.
Sure. And it
because your next,
but you won't be charging it necessarily.
Right, but you don't have an iPhone 5 right now, so you're going to have.
Have an iPhone 5.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you do.
I do have an iPhone.
Well,
5,
whatever.
Adam,
you're protected against their next port change dealy.
Here's the thing.
True.
Here's the thing, Adam. The car I'm looking for, the 2012 model, that they call that the connectivity package.
Yeah.
That was not standard. In the 2013, it is standard. All The only thing I'm looking for that I have to have is a standard thing besides automatic transmission.
Perfect.
So
power windows, power brakes.
I'll take power brakes.
Undercoating?
No undercoating. They say you should not ever get that stuff anyway.
I know.
Don't ever let them upsell you.
That actually came up on a recent episode of Archer with Ron Cadillac. He's talking about
never get
the undercoating.
Yeah. And we also learned about that in the movie Fargo as well. You never want that.
So we can always trust our Hollywood properties to steer us right when it comes to purchasing of a car.
So the best price I found for this car is about $1,000 cheaper than a lot of other places. But the problem is it's in Rogers, Minnesota.
Right. No one even knows where that is.
Which is far, far away.
It's not that far.
They'll drive
away.
It in for you, though, right?
I don't know if they would drive it in for me.
I drove mine in when I bought my car years ago.
Really?
Yeah. The one I wanted was in somewhere far away, and they drove it in.
Wow, that's great. Well, maybe that's something
They end up doing like a dealer swap.
Gotcha.
They'll locate the vehicle. I mean, you got to be careful. Also, they want to upcharge you for that too, but they'll often do a dealer swap.
Yeah, for $1,000, I'll drive to Rogers, Minnesota.
It's 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's a half.
Yeah, it's really
If traffic's bad.
Okay, you know what? 45. Don't go during rush hour.
Adam, I need you as my personal advisor for everything that I do.
Whatever, white man.
A consigliere or whatever.
Work.
Have you heard of the weekend?
Right. I have heard of the weekend. Okay. So what I'm
just don't go on Sunday.
What I'm going to try
are you working for it?
What's that?
Are you working for it? The weekend?
You know my life always. So my goal is to try to leverage this price somewhere here locally, so I can get something close to that. Because they always say they match. Everybody says, "Oh, you come back to us with a bid from somebody else, we will match it."
Mm-hmm.
So this is my next step. Start to force them to fight against each other for my money. My business time.
You got to pull that trigger soon, though.
Well, within the next 2 weeks, I figure I would like to have a new car. The only problem is I don't know what to do with my old car.
Okay.
I don't know if I should trade it in. I don't know if I don't really want to sell it because I know that whoever I sell it to.
Do you want a suggestion?
Yes.
This is what Mandy did. I don't know if you know. Mandy and I both had to get new cars last year. Not, you know, brand new cars. We got newer automobiles.
Gotcha.
Her car was kind of in the same position as yours. And what she did was she traded it to a school.
Sure.
And the school teaches a voc ed class on fixing cars. And then once the car's all fixed up, they then donate it to a women's shelter.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it's tax write-off and all that stuff. So I can give you that info.
That's something that I would consider doing if I couldn't get a decent trade-in for it, which decent would be like $500
exactly.
at the most. So, yeah. So that's a good positive thing you can do for people around you.
Nice. Yeah, I got when I traded in my Geo Prism for my Kia Spectra years ago, I actually got like $1,000 bonus because I was trading in a car of the same class.
Ah,
like same, I guess, roughly the same size and whatever. So that was nice, but
Well, one thing with my car is that it, you know, for a lot of these trade-in bonuses they have, it's 1 year older. They're like, they're looking for 99 or above, and mine's 98. So yeah. I wouldn't even necessarily get that. But we'll see. That's like peanuts. I mean, that's yeah, you know,
whatever you
with
can get,
one or
you
two
can
car
get
payments that I could maybe negate over right the life of the car.
Sure, sure.
So my thing is, I just don't want it sitting in my driveway. You know, once I kind of get the new car, I want to have two cars.
I've seen your snow pile. There's no room for that car.
I have to drive it up on it and cover it. So that's my story. Hopefully in a couple weeks, I will have a brand new vehicle to drive in. I'll be very excited. And
must be nice to be like a one percenter.
Like I said, Adam, I've never owned a new car in my life, and I'm 38 years old.
If you've got some car buying tips for Shane, make sure you call a voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE, and let him know what he should do.
Do it fast, because I'm in the hot seat right now.
Yeah.
So we've got two more things to quickly talk about. Jared, I'll let you run this segment. It's the first canceled. This is maybe the longest it's ever gone.
This is a really, really weird year. So as you know, we do annually at the Fall TV Spectacular episode, we always pick our first show canceled. And the first show of the ones that we pick is the whatever is canceled first, that person is the winner. It's not overall shows. Yeah. There's always a winner because it's only limited to our set. Just to recap, the shows that were picked, I picked the show Last Resort. Adam, you picked The Neighbors. And both Shane and Molly picked Guys with Kids. And our big winner is actually me this time.
Yeah, for the first time
for
ever.
For the first time. Last Resort is actually the only show of that group that's been canceled. But it lasted the entire 13-episode run.
That's so bizarre.
It's very strange.
Do we know what the first show canceled is in terms of episodes?
We did.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't the Jekyll and Hyde? I mean, I know it was a mid-season, but
yeah,
it got
that was two episodes. There were a couple of early cancellations, and then there were a lot of things that just stuck around, and they just, you know, got canceled, but then played out their entire run.
Is that a representation of the sorry state of network television?
Maybe ABC's show that 666 Park Avenue or whatever that also got canceled around the same time as Last Resort, but it didn't finish its run. I don't think, because I think it was on Sunday for I don't know. So for whatever reason, they let Last Resort run its course. I still have to see the last episode. I actually enjoyed
the last Last Resort.
So in a weird drawn out year, I finally win one.
Congratulations! Thank give you yourself a round of applause. Yeah, this is a tough one this year.
Yeah.
I mean, any one of the shows that we picked could have been canceled first, and I think that either Adam or myself probably should have had the shows that were canceled before yours because Last Resort was a good show.
I know. I took a stab in the dark on that one, but I have a real quick question. We're not going to have time this, obviously, to do a proper like winter TV special with all the new programming that's come back. But is there like a new show or a returning show that you guys are particularly enjoying right now?
My guess is I probably will be enjoying The Americans, but I haven't started to watch it.
I watched the pilot, which was a two-hour pilot. I like that show a lot so far.
Yep, I'm enjoying The Americans quite a bit. I've watched the pilot and the second episode, and it's good. Lots of period intrigue.
Yeah.
Will the show jump the shark when Miss Russell cuts her hair?
I don't know.
That's all I did the entire time. I kept making references to Mandy about that. Yeah. Never having even watched Felicity.
Like, so she cuts her hair and then her accent mysteriously changes and, you know.
I think she does a good job. She's like tough as nails KGB agent in this one. So
I like Felicity and I stand by it.
All right. That's all I have.
All right. Well, congratulations, Jared. You earned it. You definitely earned it. You're a prodigy in the television show picking community.
I prefer to be a CompuServe.
You're a savant. Finally, we've got some really old business. We teased this in 2012.
oh my God, that's so long ago.
I challenged Adam, Jared, and myself to a New Year's resolution off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Accurate.
So what I wanted to do was have all three of us revisit a show from our past, a full season of a show that we particularly enjoyed when we were younger. And then
we got to watch the whole season?
The whole season,
oh,
Jared.
Jesus. This is a long project.
I know.
I'm picking a show that only lasted two episodes.
You can't do that.
Damn it.
You can't do some Family Matters spinoff show. This has got to be real. So I was hoping we could pick our shows and then occasionally revisit, you know, how it's going within the show, within our podcast.
So it's sort of a long-term.
It's a full
we're
year.
We're going to check in.
It's a full year process is what I'm looking at.
Okay, and we'll periodically check in and see how things are going. All right.
So I will start with my show. I think I might have even talked about it. Yeah. I've decided that I'm going to go back and rewatch the entire Robotech Saga. It was my favorite show as a kid.
How many seasons is that?
There was one season, but one season is 85 episodes.
Holy.
So there's eight. It's, well, I mean, it's broken up into three generations, and the show goes, they take three different Japanese anime shows, they put them together, and they rewrite it so they all kind of blend in a weird sort of way.
Yep.
And I love the show. It got me into Japanese anime early. It brought Japanese anime to America in the mainstream, probably more than anything else. It's a very divisive show because it doesn't use the original storylines of the Japanese versions of it, so a lot of the purists hate that.
And sure. Tentacle porn is the other reason.
No tentacle porn.
Oh, okay.
But you have a love for the American version.
I love it. I absolutely love it, and I'm excited to get into it. I've watched three or four episodes, and I will say this. For a kid's show, it's pretty good. But let's be honest, it's still a kid's show. So it's better than Transformers, it's better than G.I. Joe, but it doesn't match The Americans, which is apparently our new gold standard for everything great on television.
Wow.
All right.
So I'll be watching that. I have to watch about 7 episodes a month, and right now I'm about 7 episodes behind, so I better get my ass in gear.
Half hour? 22 minutes?
About a little under 20, probably. So that's my show. I'll look at Adam. I know you've got many, many shows that you've watched in your life.
Sure.
What show are you willing
I'm
to
I'm having
revisit?
A hard time picking, so I was wondering if I could throw some ideas out
at
you
We could
guys.
Help.
All right,
we
sure.
could help.
So,
we can help
honestly,
whittle it down.
My first idea was to watch an entire old year of WWF shows.
Wow.
Maybe WCW instead, because I don't know if you guys were wrestling fans in the early 90s. When like
not the 90s.
I was 80s.
No, definitely okay. 80s.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I was right there at the birth of the WWF.
Okay.
Me too.
Transition from AWA, locally produced television.
Yeah, wow. Right here.
Anyway, continue.
Where's Miss Elizabeth?
Your mustache is crooked.
But I think
the video scoop at them.
I think going back to find those would be too difficult.
Probably. Probably spend more time looking for it than watching.
Adam has it exactly right.
I think I could find like the pay-per-view specials from any given year, but that wouldn't be the
and
same.
And back in those days, they didn't have a lot of it. They maybe had two.
No, WCW did almost monthly ones.
Is that how they had Ric Flair on that one, right?
Ric Flair and Woo! Sting. But I'm thinking of when they got Macho Man and
the traitors.
Hulk Hogan.
I'm coming to the
WCW. And they were bad guys.
WCW.
But I think that seems ridiculous. So I'm kind of between the OC.
Okay.
Interesting.
Quantum Leap.
That's a good one.
And Firefly, which I think is
you can't do
good.
Firefly.
Okay, no, right? It's too beloved.
Right.
Too beloved.
I also put Sliders on the list, but I don't think I watched enough Sliders for that to really count. So,
I think you should pick Quantum Leap because it's the oldest.
Okay.
And I will tell you, the OC, we watched last year in our Christmas Fest. I actually watched the first Chrismica episode.
You did the same thing they do in season one when they watch an entire season of the fake OC that's on the OC?
I just watched it. And I have to say, it was terrible. I was so disappointed. Like, I like the characters, but I just don't think that show would hold up.
Like Quantum Leap?
Yeah, well,
Quantum Leap's long.
At least Quantum Leap is a... At least it's a genre type of thing. Sure. So there's a little bit of leeway built in.
Okay. Season one, you think?
Sure, why not?
All right.
So Quantum Leap it is for Adam.
Perfect.
Jared.
When we had originally talked about this topic, was it last episode or two episodes ago? Or 2012, you say? The show Jason the Wheeled Warriors had been suggested. I've sort of thought about it, and it's like I liked the show as a kid, but I don't know that it was one that I saw all of.
Yeah, it wasn't a beloved?
Yeah.
You didn't DVR it back then?
No, not so much.
Why didn't you get
not
your so DVR much. Cooking?
I tried to scribble it out on paper, frame by frame, but I just couldn't keep up, so...
not that talented of an artist.
I've decided to revisit the show, one that I would consider one of my favorites of my youth, also a 90s program.
Let's try to guess it. 90s program, favorite of the youth.
Family Matters.
Nope.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Step by Step.
Nope. I wasn't a big sitcom guy, I'm going to be honest. So
Law and Order, the original.
Nope.
Twin Peaks.
Nope.
You
can stop guessing. I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
Regis, Kathy Lee.
Yes, you've got it. Season one of Regis, live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Go ahead, tell us.
I'm going to revisit the Corin Nemec show, Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Corin Nemec? What does that mean?
Corin Nemec. He played
the
Parker
actor,
Lewis.
Corin Nemec.
Oh, I thought it was like some sort of crazy vocab word.
Apparently, he is recovering from a serious accident of some sort. Nearly killed him. But it has nothing to do with the show.
So that should be Parker Lewis Can't Lose His Life.
Yeah, so I have season one on DVD, and I will be checking that out.
How many episodes?
I would 23? Guess standard 20 to 24, somewhere in there.
So that's an hour. Is that an hour show?
Yeah.
So we're in the same boat. You
what
and I
if, instead of Quantum Leap, I watch the, what did Parker Lewis copy?
Ferris Bueller.
Yes, what if I watched the Ferris Bueller TV show?
Which failed.
I won't watch it.
Can you even find that?
There are some of those on YouTube, and I remember like relearning about that show. I don't know where it came up, like with some BuzzFeed or something like that, and I watched the opening credits of some of that show. It is so bad.
Yeah.
It is so bad.
So I'm curious how well Parker Lewis holds up.
I think that's a great one for you because you really like that show.
I really like that show. I was considering also Briscoe County Jr., but
that's newer too and a genre one.
It's from 90s, and it's a genre one. I have watched probably half of that series already, and I know I still love it. So there's no point in continuing to do that.
Well, this is exciting. We've got some good stuff picked out here.
Yeah.
Well, what we will do is try to figure out how to integrate it into the show as best we can in future episodes. But we've got to stick to it. We've got it's not like we're forcing you to lose 30 pounds, Adam.
Yeah,
you could use it, but we're just going to make you watch TV instead.
What's happening now?
I love it. He's in it.
Never mind.
I think he's playing Bejeweled Blitz.
I'm seeing if Quantum Leap. I should have checked if any of these are on Prime first, because that would have made my choice a lot easier.
You're a Prime guy, are you?
He's a Prime guy. Anyway, so guys, we've talked for a good 35 minutes. I think we've got another 3 hours.
26, really.
We've got another 34, 35 hours left of programming on this episode.
We'll keep it tight.
So what are we doing? We're doing our Oscar prediction show. Every year we go through and pick our winners for a lot of the top categories and one not-so-top category. This year around, I've got some Oscar trivia sprinkled in. We'll see how the boys do. We've also got Under the Scope coming. That means Adam does news. We no reviews because this is the time of year where there's nothing to review. Unless we want to talk quick video games, Adam, because you and I play a lot of video games.
Sure.
And we've got Coming Soon. Coming Soon, guys.
Coming Soon.
I mean, this is a little known bit that we do where we talk about all the upcoming things in media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick break. Jared, Adam, we'll be back with our Oscar prediction segment right after this.
The best weekend ever in comedy music is almost here. MarsCon 2013 is March 1st through 3rd at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Suites in Bloomington, Minnesota, right across from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. This year's lineup includes our music guests of honor, sponsored by DementiaRadio.org, British comedy music trio Flat 29. Dan, Charlie, and Rich are doing their first ever performance in America on the main stage at MarsCon 2013. Also making his first appearance at MarsCon, stand-up comedian and nerdy musician Mikey Mason. Other returning favorites performing on the main stage include The Great Luke Ski, Worm Quartet, Power Salad, Possible Oscar, Steve Goody, Insane Ian, TV's Kyle, and Max DeGroot. We'll also be hosting the third annual Logan Whitehurst Memorial Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music as we celebrate the 10th year of the MarsCon Dementia Track. It's $50 for a weekend badge until January 31st. After that, it'll be $65 at the door. Go to MarsCon.com for more information on the rest of the convention and to pre-register. And for details on the MarsCon Dementia Track, visit MarsConDementia.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see all you funny music fans at MarsCon 2013.
Welcome, fellow soldiers. We're about to venture forward and fight the alien invasion that is coming, hurtling towards our Earth.
It's called fanfare for Oscar. Come on.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah.
This is not pomp and circumstance, all right? There is a mod. I know you played Skyrim on the Xbox.
Of course,
right?
I did.
There is a mod for the PC called the Macho Man mod, and it changes.
I've seen that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I love it.
But it gets the song wrong. It changes all the dragons to look like to have bandanas.
Yes,
but it doesn't play the right. It doesn't play Pomp and Circumstance. When it plays some other stupid song,
he comes in like he's some sort of royalty with his big feather. He didn't. I don't know. He didn't do the feather boa, did he?
That was our governor.
Yeah. Oscar picks.
Oscar picks. Everybody, we've got a lot of Oscar picks. When, Jared, when are the Oscars? Do we know?
24th.
24th, yeah.
So that is a few short weeks away.
That is 1 week from today.
By short weeks, I mean 1 week.
1 week from today.
One really long
week. 6 days from when the show was out.
Right.
And so we have got to lay down the law in terms of who we think is going to win.
We've got to lock it down.
My guess is we're probably going to be pretty close, but
I don't.
This is a crazy year for Oscar
stuff.
Picks, isn't it, Adam?
I
go ahead.
I don't follow any of the prediction things, so I have no idea. I'll probably get them all wrong, like I always do.
That's okay. We like divergent
opinions. Molly's not here. Molly studies all those guides.
Yeah. I didn't even ask her this year.
Well, she's going to be disappointed, but she probably doesn't listen. So
I don't think she listens to the show. That's okay.
Only when she's on.
Only when she's on. So I have got six or seven. I think seven. Two, three, four. Seven. I'm really a great prep here. I got seven things we're going to be selecting from. I'll sprinkle in some Oscar trivia as well, because I've got some great research that I must share with you boys.
First black person to win an Oscar.
I know it was from
She's
Gone
with the Wind.
Yeah.
Laurence Olivier.
Correct. So let's get it.
Or as I like to say, Adam has it exactly right.
There you go.
Let's build, shall we? Let's start with some best supporting.
Oh, we're
going to
go from the ground up. Yes. I like it. I like it. Let's lay a proper foundation.
I love it. So,
is this the order that that happens in on the show?
They tend to switch up the order. You know, for a long time, the first award of the night was always Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
And then they shifted it so it would be later in the show for the main categories. So I don't know what they're going to do this year.
It's actor in a supporting role, by the way.
Best for a Best Supporting Actress in a Supporting Role. We've got a great field this year.
Uh-huh.
Amy Adams in The Master. Don't You Ever Fart in My Tits Again. That's Between Two Ferns. We've got Sally Field for Lincoln. Uh-huh. Annie Hathaway, her friends call her Annie, by the
Little
way.
Annie.
Annie Hathaway for Les Mis.
Is Your Perfume Kettle One?
Helen Hunt flashing her tatas in The Sessions. And Jack Hay, or is that Jackie? I don't know.
Oh, it is Jack Hay.
Jack Hay Weaver.
Yep.
For Silver Linings Playbook. I
she
saw that
mom?
Movie.
Is she the mom? Who is she in that? She must be the mom.
She
right?
is the mother of Sir Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
So we've got a great group here.
All right.
But I think there might be one easy pick in
is
here.
Is this going to Anne Hathaway? Is that what you mean by easy pick?
I'm saying Anne Hathaway is going to win it.
All right.
Based on the strength of her performance of one song, Jared. I don't even know what the name of that song is.
Les Miserables.
I Dreamed a Dream.
I Dreamed a Dream.
Oh, what else? What the fuck else are you going to dream?
She copied, what's her face?
You know what? You know, I Dreamed a Pizza. That doesn't work.
I Dreamed a Pizza full of pepperoni.
You Dream a Dream. It's a one-to-one correlation.
Right.
Les Mis.
You may dream of a pizza, but you dreamed that dream of
there
a pizza.
There is a Smashing Pumpkins song where Billy Corgan has the same sort of issue and talks about feeling pain when he's hurt.
And the world being a vampire.
Exactly.
Right.
Les Mis might be one of my most hated movies of the year.
I think it is your most hated movie of the year.
It's a movie that's supposed to be great.
Name another movie
it.
Of 2012 that you disliked more.
Mm. Question for you.
Yes.
Jack Reacher. No.
No. Go ahead, Adam.
Did you see Book of Mormon? I saw that your wife.
My wife saw it last night. I did not go, okay. And they loved it.
I'm just wondering if there are other musicals that you... By chance.
I would probably love...
Let's not go down this road.
Jeez. Have you not been following it on Facebook? Anyway, so I'm not picking her because I want her to win. I'm picking her because I think that everyone's going to give it to her. I think her speech that she gives will be a bit fake and a bit too earnest for my taste.
She's got a big mouth.
Although I think that she's a great actress. And I think she was a great Catwoman. Jared, you go.
I'm not a big Anne Hathaway hater like some people. I think... she's been the odds-on favorite since the very beginning of the Oscar prognosticating season, and I think she will take the award, Anne Hathaway. I don't think that she's necessarily undeserving, so I'm fine with the pick, and I will say Anne Hathaway.
Adam, you're always at the center.
Are you writing all these down?
I am.
I can email you mine if you want to make it simpler.
Yeah, whatever. Email them to me, but I'll just take notes.
Or you guys can email it to me, because I'll have to build a table.
Oh, maybe I'll do that. Go ahead,
anyway.
Adam.
Shane, write these down, because I'm not going to remember what my picks are.
Okay, then I'll email you our results.
Fair enough.
I saw two of these movies.
And please do it in the voice of Mean Gene Okerlund.
I mean, his voice was normal.
How about
you could hear the
Gorilla
mustache.
Monsoon?
Gorilla Monsoon. I'm Gorilla Monsoon. How about
Andre the Giant?
Andre.
I can't do a good. Anyway, I saw The Master. I saw Silver Linings Playbook. Neither one of those performances stuck out to me.
Okay.
I thought they were good, but not
great.
Amazing. Sally Field. I don't know if that's a
pity?
Deserving, right? Not pity, but like,
was she good, Jared? You saw Lincoln.
I think she was good, but I didn't come out of it going, "Well, that was an Oscar caliber performance." She just played a little bit crazy,
right?
Honestly,
so
I was, I guess, a little surprised by the nomination, but whatever. Lincoln got a lot of nominations.
Jared agrees it is a pity award.
Jared knows he's
maybe
an insider.
Maybe she can do "You Really Love Me" part two when she gets her award.
He's an insider.
Yeah,
an E insider.
He's like friends with Billy Bush. Everyone knows that.
So I'm going to agree with you guys and pick Anne Hathaway. I, by the way, really dislike Anne Hathaway as a person.
Really?
Why?
Her mouth is too big for her face. It's the Julia Roberts syndrome.
Okay.
I cannot stand looking at her.
She does have a big mouth.
Yeah. Otherwise, she seems happy and nice.
Okay.
So he hates her for the mouth.
Doesn't like her grande boca.
Amy Adams, boca grande. On the other hand, I love Amy Adams. As a person.
She is something else.
Yeah.
So, guys, I'm going to give you my first trivia question.
All right.
Okay.
These are actually related to Best Supporting Actress. So I got a couple of them. Best Supporting Actress, Sally Field.
Uh-huh.
So we'll start. Best Supporting Actress nominee Sally Field got her start on what mid-60s surf culture sitcom?
Oh, God. Gidget? Something Gidget.
Correct.
Something Gidget.
Is it just called Gidget?
From what I understand, though, she wasn't like the first person to play Gidget, which was interesting. There was other Gidgets before.
I wonder if back then it was just more normal, like how the Bewitched guy switched.
Like Darren. You get a new Darren every season. You get every season, you get a new Gidget. You can't keep him young and perky all the time, Shane.
You can't.
You got to swap him out.
Exactly.
So let me ask Adam.
They get old and haggard by the Gidget process.
I'm going to ask Adam this next question.
Soap dish.
In Field's breakout dramatic role in the 1979 movie Norma Rae.
Yeah.
What is written on the sign she holds silently while she stands on her cotton mill work table? It's a classic scene.
It says Norma Rae. It says it was to remind her what
her name.
Sally Field, not a smart person.
It was probably her website domain.
I think it was. Yeah. She was way ahead of the curve.
Register GoDaddy.com is what it said.
Yeah.
See me in Smoking the Bandit 2, coming to theaters this summer.
Yeah. Oh, Coney 2012.
Jared, do you have a guess?
They ever get that guy?
I have no idea.
She holds up the sign like this. And it says,
"We're number one."
Union.
Oh.
Because it's about her wanting to start a union in the cotton production plant.
Right.
It's about her wanting to allow civil unions.
Yeah.
Once again,
the Sally Field is something special.
Way ahead of the time.
All right. Best Supporting Actress.
I've seen that. I've seen a clip of that. I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about. So we've got a cornucopia of great actors.
Do you think John Norton is just freaking out right now, yelling at us?
Probably.
Okay.
It's okay.
We probably deserve it.
We're a bunch of rubes.
Best Supporting Actor, Alan Arkin for the movie Argo. Robert De Niro for the movie Silver Linings Playbook. Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that a weird, to consider that a supporting role?
I never saw it, but I would think that he could be right up there. Tommy Lee Jones for Terrible Wig in the movie Lincoln. And Christoph Waltz for the movie Jesus Unchained, or Django Unchained.
You mean Jesus Uncrossed. Come on.
The Jesus Uncrossed. Okay, so we've
the
got...
The H is silent.
This, according to many Oscar prognosticators, is a really difficult, tight race.
Good.
It could go to almost anyone in this list, except Alan Arkin.
Oh, really?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a shame. John Goodman splitting votes with him.
The Goodman always messes things up. Jared, I'm going to look to you to start this one off. You have seen a lot of these movies. By a lot, I mean two.
I've seen two of them, yes. And you've seen two of them.
I've seen two. And Adam, how many of these movies have you seen?
Three.
Oh.
So, Jared, you've got to educate a guess.
Entertainment Weekly has Rob De Niro pegged as a 31% favorite, but I don't agree with them.
Okay.
And I haven't seen the movie, but my gut tells me that it's going to be Philip Seymour Hoffman taking the statue, the Oscar man home.
All right.
Interesting. That's my guess.
Adam, you next.
I agree. I feel like this is one of those categories where because The Master kind of came in as this, before the season
started. It was a summer movie, right?
It was late summer.
Summer,
I think
so.
And
early summer.
Spring. People were saying this is going to be the front runner. This is going to win. And I think it did not satisfy as many people's expectations.
It's a huge Scientologist lobbying.
All right.
In Hollywood. They busted it up.
So I think that this might be one of those where they want to still award the movie with something. And it was a good performance. I think that Philip Seymour Hoffman's character was crazy. And that's always good. Play crazy. Go the full crazy.
Just don't go full retard.
Right, exactly. And because I only saw that that Silver Linings Playbook and Argo. I mean, I'd love to give it to Alan Arkin just because I think Argo is the best movie of this, the bunch that I saw. But I can't because apparently he has no chance.
I'm just saying that. So I am going to select a different pick from you guys. I'm going with Tommy Lee Jones.
Interesting.
For the movie Lincoln. I kind of feel like, piggybacking on what Adam said, Argo is this movie that's really messing up the way the Oscars were supposed to go.
Yeah.
So I think that there will be some awards that are going to go to Lincoln, and I think that this will be one of them. Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's interesting. I like that we're all different picks on this one.
And I'm going to be honest with you. This, by far, has been the hardest year to pick Oscars.
Really?
I don't think there's ever been...
There's a couple categories that are locks, but overall, there's a lot of options.
Well, I've got a question. Oh. I've got a trivia question
about... The Fugitive.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
What movie featured Philip playing fun-loving oddball storm chaser Dusty... Dustin Hayes.
Twister.
Really?
Twister. Yeah. You didn't even let me finish it. Yes, it's correct. Twister. The answer is Twister. Just watched it not too long ago.
Wow. Does it hold up?
How does the cow hold up?
It's
does not live, is my guess.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a pretty cheesy movie, but I still enjoy
it. We liked it a lot at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was had great sound. You know, it was a winter movie, I think, when it came out. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But watching it in the winter, it feels like, you know, this muggy, oppressive, Midwestern area. You know, it just, you feel the heat and humidity in the storms, and I kind of like that. But let's be honest, it's really hard when you have to make a rival storm chaser the big douchebag. Yeah. It's just it's silly.
I feel like that was released around the same time when a lot of those, you know, big disaster movies had pairings. You know, like there was Volcano and Dante's Peak.
Yes.
And Armageddon and...
Armageddon it.
And Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. Yeah. There were even two Mars movies in like the same in yep. 1 year. Twister, somehow there was no, you know, other tornado movie. NATO, or whatever you would call it.
Too hard.
You know.
By the way...
Funnel Cloud.
Fun fact teaser, we do have a Deep Impact trivia question coming up soon.
Oh.
Later in the...
Morgan Freeman.
Later.
Excellent. Elijah Wood.
Gimli.
Guess what, guys?
Lily Sobieski.
Guess what, guys? It's
just naming the cast now.
Best Actress, Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty. Jared and I saw it, thought she was good.
I was there.
You were there.
We are all there.
Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook.
That's
just
right,
saw
you,
it last
you were,
weekend.
You had your vomiting friend, was it? No. Was it that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Riva from For Amour, that French film.
Ugh.
Here we go, Beast of the Southern Wild. I don't even know how to say her name. Quvenzhané Wallis.
I bet that's pretty close.
Yeah, that sounds good. And probably just Wallace. You probably don't need to go crazy on the last name.
Wow.
I'm
doing the best I can, Jared. And finally, Naomi Watts for the uplifting, scary film, The Impossible.
Did that ever open wide? Because I wanted to
it
see
did.
It, but I just kind of forgot about
it. It's crazy because when that movie came out, I did a little bit of YouTubing of some of the footage from that tsunami.
The real stuff, yeah.
And it just is heartbreaking and as terrifying as it was when it happened. And was it 2004 that happened? Just insane how you're just watching people getting washed away and dying.
Yeah, thank God a white family gets reunited.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a documentary about it was just called like tsunami something or other, and it was like a
tsunami.
It was a British thing, and I ended up watching all 8 parts on YouTube one day, just dealing with like 4 or 5 stories of people.
Work's been pretty slow, huh?
Wow. It was in between stuff. Okay. Work's been very busy.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Come on, no. So anyway,
real quick, before I forget, because have you guys both seen Argo?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's available. You can digital download it already.
And on DVD starting Tuesday.
Yeah.
I will start this one off since I have not started off.
Okay.
Do it.
I think this one is a lock for Jennifer Lawrence.
Is it? Good. I think
I think this one is going to go to her. There, you know, I guess Jessica Chastain is someone who's brought up a lot in terms of possibly winning it. But
is it true that the Academy doesn't really want to be seen giving awards to that movie? Like I remember reading something about
it. Seems to be a little blackballed, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, a lot of critics are saying that is the best movie of the year, Zero Dark Thirty. I think as a movie, it's a great movie. I don't know if her performance, Jessica Chastain's, was one that was notable, as in you know what I mean? I mean,
it wasn't terrible, but I think the material just itself kind of lifts everything up a little higher, and the perception of it being maybe better than it is.
The story is the star of that film.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm saying Jennifer Lawrence. I saw her in Silver Linings Playbook. I liked her. I think she's a talent. She's got great hair in that film, and she's hotter than hell.
Yep.
How dare you? Adam, you're next.
She's a messy drunk, too. Sure. I had no idea. She would be my sentimental pick, but if you're saying that there's a decent chance...
Well, you're not supposed to change your answers.
I don't have any answers.
Oh, my God.
Going into this.
Okay, well, what are you picking, then?
I'm picking Jennifer Lawrence.
The real J-Lo. Jared, you're up.
Call it 3x3, whatever you want to call it. I'm also picking Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's this is another one of those categories where I think she's the clear favorite.
Was she nominated for that movie, the West Virginia movie that she was in a couple years ago?
Yes, she was. Bone, yeah.
Okay, she didn't win, though, right?
I don't think so.
No, she did not. Okay. No, I don't think
this is pretty impressive. Two Oscar nominations in 3 years for someone? 2 years?
It is.
Whatever it is.
I'm a little hot and cold on her as far as her hotness level.
Sometimes
when she's playing plainer, she's like just comes off as plain. But if you put her in a nice dress and throw some makeup on her, look out.
I think in X-Men, she was a bit of a butterface, if you want
to
know the truth.
I did not find her attractive. Yeah. I didn't
like
think
if you
was
have her compared to what Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Sure.
And you're playing the same character, Rebecca blows her away.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
All right, that's fair. I thought you were going to say compared to James McAvoy. Oh. I think James McAvoy was hotter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Totally bone him first.
Floppy hair.
Guys, I love that. I've got a trivia question about Naomi Watts.
Oh. All right.
Naomi went to high school.
King Kong.
And is best friends with what fellow Australian actor?
Hugh Jackman.
Was that incorrect? Or
I'm going to let you answer.
All right.
You can agree or you can give me a different answer.
Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
You've got the right actors from the right country, but you don't have the right sex.
Why do we think that's where that we both went?
Honestly, she's just a bang machine.
I don't think I know.
I think most.
I think there's an obvious one now that I've told
you. Most prominent Australian actors are they're male,
right?
I might disagree with you.
Okay, but Nicole Kidman.
Ding!
Thank you.
They kind of look the same too.
I just think.
Wait, they're the same age.
Like, who's the other famous Australian actress?
Yeah. Weird.
That's it.
Got it. I got it. 2-1. I'm winning.
Colette, what's her face?
Who?
Something. She was in My Best Muriel's Wedding.
Moving on.
Tony Collette.
Yeah,
Tony
she Collette. Australian?
I think so.
I had no idea.
Maybe New Zealandish. Okay, let's move on to...
New Zealandish.
Let's move on to another one.
She's a Kiwi then.
Tasmanian-esque.
That could be a slam
She's
dunk.
A marsupial.
We'll see. Best actor, boys. Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook. Mm. Also A-Team. It's a late nomination. Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Hugh Jackman for Les Mis.
Lincoln?
Joaquin Phoenix for The Master Blaster Runs Bought a Town. And Denzel Washington for Flight. You take Flight with Denzel.
Yep.
Jared.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I think this is probably one that's about as big of a lock as it could be. I don't know how Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't walk away with a statue for inhabiting Abraham
Lincoln. You saw
Lincoln. Yes.
He's fantastic. Does he look like him?
He looked like him. He, as far as I know, talk like him. He was Abraham Lincoln. And it's a fantastic performance.
Adam.
I've gone back and listened to those Lincoln tapes that exist. They really do.
Because they're everywhere.
And I agree.
Lincoln tapes.
I'm going to go with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, there is no recorded Lincoln.
What's his maiden name? Is it Daniel Day or Daniel Lewis?
It's a good question.
It's actually Smith.
You could have done better with that. I saw you where you're going with the comedy, but you just...
I know.
You swung hard, but you missed.
I didn't have an ending when I started. That just kind of tripped me up.
That's why we're doing this fucker in a basement. Let's be honest.
If we had a writing room, we'd be on TV.
I'm also going with a young Danny Day-Lewis as well.
DDL.
Lincoln. I think Lincoln falls right into my plan that Lincoln will be awarded with a number of awards, just not some of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
I've got Danny Day-Lewis trivia, guys. I got some good ones here.
All right.
This one should be a slam dunk easy one. Please let me finish the question before you get
I
want to
say real quickly, I don't think I've ever seen a Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Really?
I've saw In the Name of the Father.
Was he in Gangs of New York?
Yes.
I never finished it. Well, so I've never finished a Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Just what, you just come and then you're not bothered to finish it?
I don't know what the deal is. I've never seen that Milkshake movie. I know that.
Super actor Daniel Day-Lewis won his first Oscar for his performance in what 1989 film?
My Left Foot. Oh, you should have let me finish.
Bastard.
Because I was waiting, and I was going to say it.
One minus 10 penalty points for you.
How many plus points do I have so far?
16.
Are there any neutral charged points that I can have?
This is a good one right here, guys. Listen carefully, because this one's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Why do we have to wait till the end of the question?
This one you're going to have to.
All right.
Let's make it fair.
In the following list of movies...
My left foot.
Name the film that wasn't considering Daniel Day-Lewis as the lead. Interview with the Vampire. Batman Begins. Star Wars Episode One. Sleepy Hollow. Pulp Fiction.
So all of those,
all of these films
for
except
one?
One, he was being considered for a lead role in one of these films.
That's insane.
Wow. But he didn't get it, obviously.
You can tell.
Right. He tried
like
out.
Almost, he made the right choice in almost every single one of these films.
I'm going to go Sleepy Hollow.
Jared to Sleepy Hollow. What do you say, Adam?
Who directed Sleepy Hollow?
That would be
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
I'm going to go with that one, too.
The correct answer is Star Wars Episode 1. That was the only film he was not considered.
So you're telling me Tim Burton has considered somebody other than Johnny Depp for a lead in his a male lead in his film.
Yes.
That's
according to the research I have.
I don't believe that for a second.
Right. That's the more unbelievable part.
That's like saying Danny Elfman isn't going to do the score. And Helena Bonham Carter isn't going to play some sort of wacky supporting role.
And as a teaser for the trivia, I have got a score-related question coming up.
Scope score?
A little bit later.
Okay.
A movie scoring question.
I'm excited.
Isn't it amazing how this is all tying together?
Yeah.
Best actor we've done, best actress we've done, so we're down to some big effing categories,
all
guys.
Right.
Best director. This is a controversial pick right here.
Yep.
Five selected, but yet they have 10 best pictures. It's an odd thing. I think that maybe they should revisit this in future Oscar.
Especially when Ben Affleck wins every directing award leading up to this show.
So let's start with the list. Michael Haneke for Amour. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. Ang Lee for Life of Pi. Seen it.
Don't get the love affair with Life of Pi. Sorry.
David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook. Steven Spielberg for Lincoln. And Benny Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild, a movie I still want to see. It's been in Redbox forever.
So who's this between right now? Like, are the foreign movies, do they have any chance? Can I just discount them right away?
Yes.
Okay.
Amour is also up for Best Foreign Picture. So,
okay.
So if it wins, that's probably where it will win, in my opinion. So we will start with Adam, since he will not be able to steal our picks.
Okay.
Tell us your thought process, Adam.
I mean, with what you just said, I would put it between... I guess I would just have to say it's Lincoln. I mean, I think I love every David O. Russell movie. And they were talking about his next movie, which will star all the same people he always has in his movies.
He's got a troupe, doesn't he? An acting troupe.
Yep. Jennifer Lawrence is going to be in.
You liked Silver Linings, didn't you?
I liked it a lot. I liked Fighter. I think I've liked everyone.
Silver Linings and The Fighter sort of have a similar feel to it.
Yes.
I mean, it's different stories, but similar feel.
Yep.
It's good.
So, I mean, I want him to win, but it feels like...
It's Raining Men?
It feels like this would go to Steven Spielberg. I thought I read something about the Amour director having a good chance at this one, though. So I don't know if I'm just making that up or what.
Your final?
Steven Spielberg?
Lock it in?
Yeah, sure.
He's going with Steven Spielberg. Jared, what do you go with?
I'm going to agree with Adam. I'm going to go with Spielberg. I think that, I don't know, maybe if Affleck was in this category, he might be the odds-on favorite, but they didn't give it to him. And I think of the remainers, I'm looking at Entertainment Weekly's predictions. They've got Ang Lee at 25%. I just don't understand that at all. Not that
Pi has won some international awards.
I know, but I just don't understand.
I'm with you. I don't get it.
Did you guys see it?
Yeah, we saw it. Okay. According to my daughter, to it, as a matter of fact.
According to their rankings, he's number two behind Spielberg. Mm. I would probably put David O. Russell there, but I don't know. I'm going Spielberg
for Lincoln. I will third that. It's part of my Lincoln strategy to give them a lot of awards to make up for what happens for Best Picture.
Uh-oh.
Guys, I have got some Steven Spielberg questions.
Ooh, Lincoln.
Best director Steven Spielberg turned down the opportunity to direct Deep Impact and The Mask of Zorro to instead direct what film? So you got to think about when those films came out.
Schindler's List.
Adam, what do you say?
I don't think this is right, but what's the one with Tom Hanks in the airport?
Catch Me If You Can?
No.
It's the something.
That's the other.
Okay. I'm not right. Otherwise, you would have just read it off of your thing. So that's fine.
Correct answer is Schindler's List.
Thank you.
I much rather would have seen him do Deep Impact. I mean, that makes more, or even Mask of Zorro makes more sense to me.
It seems like it was the right era, and it was like, this is a passion project. He's going to do this. That's...
Give you one more. This is a good one. Kay. It's our scoring, movie scoring question.
Like sound? Score like sound?
The music.
Film. Okay.
Name the first Spielberg film not scored by John Williams.
Oh.
And if you can't get it, I will give you a hint after you guys guess.
That's a good
This
one.
Is a hard one.
Not scored by John Williams.
Mm-hmm. It's old.
Yeah, I would imagine it is.
I mean, Jaws?
No, John Williams definitely scored Jaws. Definitely.
Yeah.
Close Encounters?
No.
And keep going? E.T.?
You should know better. E.T. is also John Williams.
I don't know.
Jared?
I don't.
Give me a legitimate guess.
I'm thinking it's somewhere in the mid to late 80s.
What's the old person?
That's good thinking. Talk me through your thinking.
Think.
Did he direct Cocoon?
No.
No, it's Ron Howard.
Ron Howard did that.
Goodness. What did we have coming out in that time?
If I give you the hint, my guess is you'll nail it right
away.
Yeah.
It's not
the Indiana Jones movie that he directed, right?
Well, he directed three
all of them. Four of them, actually.
Four, yeah.
That's for Adam showing his movie skills. Here's the hint, Jared.
Yeah. Empire of the Sun.
That's a good guess, but not correct. It was scored by Quincy Jones.
Oh, goodness.
Plays into Oscar history as well.
Did he direct The Birth of Rashida Jones?
He did. He was right there. Well, I'm surprised that didn't give it away.
Color Purple.
Bing! Color Purple.
Wow, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
By the way, that was the most racist clue ever given.
That's me, baby. Racism. Well, I've got two trivia questions
left.
Well,
it's pretty clear that we know John Williams is a racist. So
yeah.
He would never have scored that.
Two trivia questions left. We've got two topics, two selections left. Let's start with the big one, Best Picture. There's 10 of them. It's going to take me a while to read them. Let's go. Alphabetical order. Amour. Argo.
There's only 9, I think.
Beast of the Southern Wild. Django Unchained. Les Mis. Life of Pi. Lincoln. Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, and Ted.
Ted snuck in
last
wow!
second.
Wow!
Anybody that actually hosts a show that's deeply involved in a movie,
they get
automatically
nominated. It's an honorific. They aren't expected to win.
So this is controversial, guys.
Which part of it?
The fact that the movie that has been sweeping all the other awards, Argo, does not have Ben Affleck represented as best director. I'm going first. I'm saying it's going to be Argo. I don't know if Argo is the best movie of all of these. It's very good, though. It's got everything you could ask for. It's got a story about Hollywood. Hollywood loves Hollywood movies.
It's true. Yep.
It's got a historical slant to it. It's a period piece. It's got a story that's known but yet is still
compelling.
Exciting and compelling. It's got comedy. It's got drama. It's got bad hair. It's got bad ties. They make the people in the 70s look like ugly fuckers.
They are. They were.
It's got to be Argo, Jared,
I've
doesn't
seen
it?
70s porn. It is not pretty.
I think your reasoning is sound. However, I think the Academy is going to stick by its guns and not give it to Argo. I think it's going to go with what's been the odds-on favorite for months and months and months. We're talking Les Mis. No, we're not talking Les Mis.
Wow, you are really controversial.
We're talking Les Lincoln. That's my pick for Best Picture.
Lele Sobieski.
Yes.
Adam.
I have a question.
Yes.
Don't the Oscar people, the Academy, doesn't it consist of people that also vote in these other awards?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Argo.
Okay. I'm going Lincoln. Sticking by it. I want Argo to win. I think Lincoln will win.
So guess what, guys?
What?
You and Jared, you and Adam have the exact same picks, except for director. I have Divergent by 2, so it,
we have different.
Unless
picks
you guys pick,
no, we picked. We all picked different supporting actors, didn't we?
No, you guys both picked.
Philip.
I picked. Then
we all picked different
actress.
Picks. Okay, I'm confused.
You're all the same.
What was the one that we picked different stuff on?
Wasn't just director. That's it.
Director. Yeah.
All right.
Director.
Fine. Yes. Fine.
And movie. We picked different movies.
I got to switch these around here.
Come on, get your notes right. Do I need to stall again?
No, we're all in the same director. Okay. Spielberg, all the way around. Film, right. Lincoln is Lincoln, Argo. So, guys, let's get a trivia question about famous director David O. Russell.
Mm.
As you know, he also directed, co-produced, and wrote the 2004 film I Heart Huckabees, also known as I Love Huckabees. Didn't know that. But in 2007, two behind-the-scenes videos were leaked showing Russell battling with what Huckabee's actor? Yeah. Adam.
What's-her-face with the voice of Lamb Chop? Not really her, but the lady with the black hair. I can't think of her
Jared? Name.
Well, I've seen the clips, so I know.
So tell them what it
Lily
is.
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin. There you go.
So I thought in honor of that, we could play one or two of these clips.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've heard one of them, which is Lily in a car with Dustin Hoffman, and she's sort of going crazy.
Uh-huh.
But there's another one that I found.
Yeah. Which one do you want?
I don't know which is which, but let's do the one where she is like on a scene behind a desk and she's fighting with David O. Russell, this guy is going apeshit.
The classic.
Like hitting stuff and throwing stuff at her. It is crazy. Play it, Jared.
Photos of yourself. See, it's harder actually to pick it up from the damn desk.
Okay.
You were planning.
Take a beat and preset it.
You can put the fucking thing down. You can put the folder down for a second to use both hands.
Yeah. And take your legs off the desk and a whole bunch of other stuff.
It says you gotta keep it, you can take your legs down.
We can buy some.
Okay, for Christ's sake, let's just take it one fucking line at a time instead of changing everything. It's very difficult to even create what you're gonna do when it's constant, a barrage of change this, do this. No, wait, do it a different way. Don't get me started. Okay, so I'm just saying, let's just, you know, it's impossible. One actor's doing one thing, another actor's doing another, and I'm not as brilliant as you.
Oh,
I can't keep up with
for you.
We're being very
efficient.
Be patient
with you.
So you can
let's rehearse.
Please.
You're being impatient.
No, I said
let's rehearse. I couldn't understand you. And it's not the first time.
It's coming.
The effect of Huckabee's on the human brain.
Fuck you! I'm just trying to fucking help you. Do you understand me?
No,
I'm being a fucking collaborator. I was trying to help you figure out
your
fucking picture.
Whoa!
Hey, bitch! I'm out here to be fucking yelled at. I worked on this fucking thing for 3 fucking years. Not to have some fucking cunt yell at me in front of the fucking crew when I'm trying to fucking help you, bitch! Figure it out yourself.
Well, I have to.
Yeah, fuck yourself!
Why don't you fuck your whole movie? Why don't you fuck your whole movie? Because that's what you're doing. We better get some insurance against the director.
I think he comes back in.
I hope so. He's still yelling.
She laughs at him.
You're fucking grown up. Act like a grown up. You're not a baby. You're fucking grown up. I'm here to fucking help you.
I laugh because of the shot. He like leaves the frame like towards the camera. And then and we're looking in, and we're like an office set. And then when he comes back, he comes in through the side door. It's just hilarious.
What was doing? Trying to help figure out anything? You have to go. Talk to me. You want yelling? You want to know I'm fucking yelling you before right now? No.
And now the PA is clearing everyone out of the room.
That is a scene that had to be leaked right there.
Wow.
That's most of our planning meetings for the scope.
So,
that's about the anger we have.
So I'm watching this, and as he comes back in, whoever is running the camera actually reframes the shot. And then the PA gets out of his chair and it's like starts waving people out, like, okay, let's just get out of here. Because there's people like just hanging out in this on the set with them as they're arguing.
I don't
and
know.
Finally
how,
someone says, maybe we should go and let them work this out.
How common are blow ups like this on a movie set? I don't know. But
right.
Probably more than you think.
I think David O. Russell's like I just think that's him also. Like
he's a firebrand.
I'm sure that the people like there's people that love him. Like Mark Wahlberg's been in 4 of his movies now.
Yeah.
Like he gets along with people. But not Lily Tomlin, it turns out.
Nope. She'll probably never work with him again. Or anyone, really.
Right.
Get back on the big chair.
All right, guys. We've got one category left. I consider this one to be the tiebreaker. And we got one trivia question, which is not related to that. But
this category is also worth 10 points.
Best documentary feature. We've got 5 Broken Cameras.
Yes.
The Gatekeepers.
Yes.
How to Survive a Plague. The Invisible War, and Searching for Sugar Man. Adam, since you did the most research on this, I'm starting with you.
I know there's 2 that he's leaning toward right
all
now.
All right. Well, so...
I'll tell you why if he doesn't.
How to Survive a Plague gets a lot of buzz, especially Dan Savage. And so How to Survive a Plague is about the 80s and AIDS
mm-hmm.
and how ACT UP, a gay rights group, kind of made AIDS, you know, start
fun.
Getting
they made it fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the one I know the most about. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of these. I was kind of surprised by. The Invisible War is that the
which
drug one,
one is the Jewish one?
The first two, five Broken Cameras and The Gatekeepers are both about.
Oh boy! And I didn't pick either. Didn't pick either one of those.
They're not Holocaust specifically, but they're both about Israel. Ugh. Five Broken Cameras is like some settlers like go off into the West Bank and settle and stuff like that, and they have conflicts with Israeli police and stuff like that.
But there's no Nazi angle on any of those?
I don't think so.
Okay, well that,
there's always that's
and the Gatekeepers is like interviews with like six members of the Israeli secret police or defense force or something like that, and they talk about a whole bunch of stuff that's happened since the Six Days War and all that stuff. So those are both, and you know, usually you go with the Jewish one because.
They tend to win,
but neither of these are directly Holocaust related, so that sort of
throws
it up
a wrench, doesn't it?
Searching for Sugar Man is about, I forget the singer's name.
Rodriguez,
yes.
Yeah. They call that the feel good documentary of the
bunch. Right. The AV Club liked it a lot. I'm gonna, you know, like gay stuff's in the news.
You love the gay stuff,
so I'm gonna go How to Survive a Plague. Hollywood loves the gays. Is David Geffen the only voter? If he is, I know which one's gonna win.
I'm just going to follow up on that, Jared. The only movie I've heard of is the Plague one. I'm going with that one as well.
You know what?
I think I'm wrong, but I'm going with it.
That one was on my list, but I'm going to switch it up. I'm going Searching for Sugar Man. I'm making a change right
here. Copying
the
Entertainment Weekly pick.
I got to differentiate. Otherwise, you know, what are you going to do?
I think that
that's
fair.
Searching for Sugar Man.
That's exciting. So we more than likely are going to have a winner out of this. That's very exciting. Let me give you my last bit of Oscar trivia. It's actually related to Sir Bradley Cooper.
Why do you keep calling him Sir Bradley?
Because he's going to be knighted eventually. Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah. First American knight. It'll be awesome.
He got his big break on Star Wars director J.J. Abrams' spy show Alias.
Mm-hmm.
But his first starring television role was on Fox's 2005 Kitchen Confidential.
Yep.
Got canceled about 12 episodes in or so.
I don't think it even lasted that long.
Jared and Adam, tell me, what famous chef's life was this show loosely based on?
Gordon Ramsay.
Adam, you concur?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm going to, I guess, no, it can't be Emeril, because Emeril had a show.
He did. It was called Emeril.
So, sure. I'll agree.
So, sure.
Great guess, but the correct answer is Anthony Bourdain. Tony Bourdain. Yep.
But that's his book, too,
He wrote a book, Kitchen Confidential. Good book, by the way. I read it. So, good job on the
Oscar I liked trivia. That show. I was sad it didn't stick around. Had the dude from Undeclared in it.
Yeah. Had a good cast. Maybe that show going down the shithole is what boosted Bradley Cooper into Oscar nomination stratosphere, Jared.
I'm sure that was the key. That was the moment where everything pivoted and his life changed forever.
You know what's funny? If you look at the actors that were on Alias and where their lives have gone, like you know, Jennifer Garner doesn't do too much anymore.
Intentionally, though.
Right. Bradley Cooper, after the A-Team, you know, he's like mostly done, you know, okay movies or whatever. And the guy that played Jennifer Garner's boyfriend in the first...
Dating the most handsome man in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know where he went. I remember he got...
Victor Garber. That's
yes.
No, and Victor's done a shitload of stuff. Yeah. He's in Argo, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, oh. Well,
her father.
Yeah.
The other guy, he's French, the handsome guy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he speaks fluent French. Yeah.
Well, I saw him on a Geico commercial. So
did you really?
Yeah,
Victor Garber.
No, the boyfriend.
Oh,
the
I heard he was a pain in the ass to work with. Okay, I heard he was an asshole. Yeah. So
I remember
I didn't even know he was gay until that story broke that who he was dating. I'm like, oh.
I didn't know he was gay either. Yeah. I'm learning that right now.
Surprise!
He was good in that show.
Yeah.
Everyone was good in that show. Yeah. All right. So, guys, great Oscar segment.
Oh, yeah, the guy who was, like, the on Alias, who was, like, the main, like, young, blonde-haired bad guy. I can't remember his character's name.
He plays a lot
He's, like, one of the big bad guys on Arrow this season.
Yeah, he did a lot of genre stuff.
Yeah.
He kept dying and not dying.
Yep.
See, what was his name? Sark in the show?
Yes.
Good show.
He's on Arrow now.
Stark. He had a thing in his chest. It was cool.
Yep.
It's easy to get confused.
Invented lots of
things. I think it was Snark. He was very, very sarcastic.
Was he in Thundercats?
Yes. No, Snark.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I'm not ready for this.
Come on, Jared. Fingers on the buttons.
I thought Jared was about to say, oh, shit, we haven't been recording the whole time.
We got to start over.
Recording. I just wasn't ready for the break.
Okay, let's stretch this out.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back with more Scope right after this.
For you, the listeners of the Scope podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. This time around, I'm going to recommend a novel by John Scalzi entitled Red Shirts, a novel with three codas. The audiobook is narrated by young Will Wheaton. And I have a sample for you. Will Wheaton.
Thank you.
Sorry. And now I'm going to play a little sample for you because they have samples that you can play now. So here we go.
From the top of the large boulder he sat on, Ensign Tom Davis looked across the expanse of the cave toward Captain Lucius Abernathy, Science Officer King, and Chief Engineer Paul West, perched on a second, larger boulder, and thought, well, this sucks. Borgovian landworms, Captain Abernathy said, and smacked his boulder with an open palm. I should have known. You should have known? How the hell could you not have known, thought Ensign Davis, and looked at the vast dirt floor of the cave, its powdery surface moving here and there with the shadowy humps that marked the movement of the massive carnivorous worms.
You know what? You can pick up that book or a book of your choice free by trying Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/thescope. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thescope for your free audiobook. And now we return you to this program, already in progress.
Three geeks on the internet, WSCE.
Under the scope. We are back. Under the Scope is rolling, large, and in charge. First segment of Under the Scope is always what, Jared? Adam always knows this. Adam?
I don't know. What is it?
Say
it in Espanol.
Comments?
How do you say Pimentos? It in Espanol?
Pimentos?
Pimentos. Pimentos!
Seriously, what are we doing?
All digital, Adam. Got it on his iPod.
Digital
iPod. iPad. Adam, why would you take a new iPad mini versus the new iPad that's coming out that will have a smaller form factor and you can more easily read comic books on it?
It's too big.
It's terrible.
Whatever happened to that, was it that cheap tablet you got?
Yeah, just throw that in the garbage.
The Playbook one, was
the
it?
Palm, the Palm? Palm. Yeah. HP.
Yeah, that one.
You were so cutting edge with that and look where you are now.
HP.
Is it sitting in a drawer somewhere?
No, I sold it.
Oh, you did.
For $5?
No, to some budding hacker?
$250 or
something. To Molly.
You could install Android on it.
You bought it for $100 and sold it for $250.
I bought it for $100 and I sold it for... I bought it for $150 and I sold it for $250.
That's still a profit.
Yeah.
That's $100 of beer money.
I just did the
math. I would expect it nothing is. Less from the likes of Adam when it comes to selling things.
Excellent businessman.
Go ahead.
I can't remember the name of that.
Do you think Adam has one of those blue or one of those clear green visors that accountants use, you know, when he's crunching numbers?
Probably. He's got the little brass lamp on his table.
Yeah. And maybe some sort of vest.
Yeah. He's got his ledgers open.
Quill. A quill and ink.
Some sort of arm garters.
Okay.
I would like to see Adam in arm garters.
So we are talking about news, right? Is that happening?
We are.
All right. Shane, do you read comic books?
I do.
Do you read Superman?
I do not.
All right. Did you know that...
Next story.
Did you know that DC has announced a new writer to one of the Superman titles? And fans,
did you know that he and Wonder Woman are fucking?
And
the writer or Superman?
Yes,
very
the writer.
Confusing. Fans are upset because it's Orson Scott Card.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
I heard about that.
Noted anti-hater. Insane person.
I'm very conflicted on him.
Do you like him, Jared?
I don't like him Ender's as a game. Person. He's yeah. terrible.
No, I thought Jared loves him as a person but hates his writing.
I like it. I liked his books. I don't... I don't know.
Right? This is hard. Okay,
it's very tough. Go on.
Comic fans and LGBT rights advocates are protesting DC's selection of sci-fi author Orson Scott Card to pen a Superman comic. Earlier this month, DC announced it would kick off the new Adventures of Superman series with a two-part story written by Card.
What's the name of that Superman series? Superman gay blasting, killing all gays.
Well, no, this
goes on an anti-gay agenda. Oh, man, that's terrible.
He kills all supporters of equal gay rights with his Kryptonian I-beams.
While Card's most lasting achievement is the classic novel Ender's Game and its subsequent books, He's become most known in recent years for his outspoken views on homosexuality, calling same-sex marriage a monstrous social revolution that must be defeated. In response, marriage equality group All Out has launched a petition asking DC to drop him as Superman's author, and USA Today reports that the comic book shop owners, or that many comic book shop owners, have pledged not to carry the title when it's printed. DC's defending its decision, you know, saying content creators are going to have their own views, and we support everyone having their own freedom of expression. His views don't match DC Comics and all that, so that's good.
But it, do companies have a social responsibility?
That's the question.
Oh, I thought you thought maybe you'd have an answer to that.
I mean, I say they do, but
so you fire know, him is what you say. That's a bad move.
You know, I would say that who owns DC now?
Warner Brothers.
Well, right. Who owns Warner Brothers? Isn't there someone? Anyway.
No, Warner Brothers okay. owns Warner Brothers.
The two brothers, Warner. Yeah, I mean, you know, to them, you know, they don't care. I like that. I like this argument. I like that this is just, you know, getting people talking about it. Like, you know, you deal with this. Like, you know, if you thought 15 years ago, comic book nerds, you know, standing up for gay rights doesn't seem like a thing.
No,
you
know? It's like a niche.
Right, with like sites like Deadspin and Grantland doing the same thing on the sports side of things, like that almost, you know, in itself is more interesting than this specific thing. Like, I don't think DC's going to let Card, you know, put any agenda type things in the story. They're very overprotective of it to begin with.
But just because Hitler could write a great Green Lantern story doesn't mean you should hire him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Although that would be a fascinating, fascinating comic book, would it not be?
Ah, indeed.
Yeah, and I guess
Dead Hitler.
In the new 52 canon, one of the Green Lanterns is gay. So
Orson will be killing him immediately in the first episode, first issue of Superman.
Right. So you know, there's been this progress in comic books, and I think a lot of gay rights advocates are worried that this is like a step back.
Well, like, this remains to be seen, doesn't it, Jared? I don't think this story is over. I don't think the story is over yet. I think maybe he doesn't write that book.
You think so?
It's possible. If the heat keeps building on this one, Jared, things could change.
That's what you got to do in this country.
If you
have something you believe in, you got to fight for it.
Give me something to believe
in. You can evoke change.
I think it's a summer series reboot, series launch. So we'll see what happens by then.
They have
a little while to figure it out. Are you guys ready to talk about video games?
Sure.
How many modern consoles do you own, Shane?
Three.
Which ones? Name them.
Wii U, PS3, and the Xbox 360.
Jared, which ones do you own?
The Xbox 360, if it's still considered to be a modern.
There's no replacement for it.
Until November.
Then that is it.
We're getting news this week, though, aren't we?
We're getting some big news. So
big news, Jared.
Things have started. So there's been basically agreed upon rumors that the new PlayStation and the new Xbox will be out this fall, in all likelihood.
Late fall.
Right. So we are now starting to get leaks of information on February 20th, which is what, next Thursday? Sony is holding a press conference.
Flying reporters out to this.
It is being called "See the Future of the PlayStation." So we'll see. It's probably just all PS Vita stuff.
Vita. We've got to really beef that sucker up.
So there's some stories that are finally coming out about what's going to be in these next consoles. And they're all rumors.
Controversial.
Very
stories.
Controversial. So let's start with what's possibly in the next Xbox.
Go for it.
That's most speculation.
Mandatory Kinect.
Yeah.
It will be in the box, and games must use it to
some
degree.
Does not work if you don't have it hooked into the system.
Right.
Whoa, wait. They must use it to some degree?
No, you just you can't play the system without a Kinect hooked up.
Right,
No, I understand that, but that's fine. I think you should have the Kinect in the box.
I think games will be encouraged to.
Yeah. Sure, but requiring them, I don't.
It's impossible to do that.
Yeah. There's, people started to get worried. I think overly worried at this patent that Microsoft recently patented that allows for DRM based on the number of people that a Kinect can see. So people then extrapolated that out to be like, oh. When you rent a movie from Xbox Videos, it'll say...
If you have 10 people watching it.
Yeah, you can't have more than 6 people watching this, because it can see how many people are in the room.
And charge you more.
So, that was just a patent. Wow. I don't think that they would ever actually
tyrannical to the extreme.
I mean, that's... You mean you... I, I mean, you draw a parallel to going to a movie theater there, and every person has to pay their individual admission.
That's bullshit. That's a bullshit.
I can't imagine anyone would be okay with that.
No. I don't think so either.
Other rumors, game swapping. In other words, like app switching, like multitasking. So you could switch between games that, like on an iPhone or an iPad or whatever. They go into like kind of a sleeping state, switch real easily.
So you're about to get cleaved into by a giant cave troll, and you're like, I'm going to swap out and think about this and then come back when I'm better prepared to
I'm
battle.
I'm going to play a very poor Kinect game.
Exactly.
Where I can't read my face.
New controllers that look just like the current 360 controllers, but won't the 360 controllers won't work because it'll be using a different wireless technology.
Oh, that's terrible for Rock Band stuff, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
And the end of it, terrible. End of the line.
Maybe the biggest rumor, and this will
and that's just to sell more new controllers.
Oh, definitely.
Because there's really nothing wrong with the current standard, really.
There's also a rumor about a CD key type authentication system where when you buy a disc or you buy a game, it asks you for a one-time activation, and that won't work on any other subsequent installations.
So games are serialized.
Use games are done is what they're saying.
That is the rumor.
And the uproar is intense right now.
So I have a GameStop story.
GameStop stock went down 4% after that announcement.
I mean,
other
than it being a blatant cash grab, it's because, you know, they're imagining that there are all these lost sales of new games to the used game market. They seem to be doing financially just fine with that whole dynamic in place.
As is, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, is there any other reason to do this other than to guarantee that it's always brand new sales?
Because the publishers want them to... Do this? I mean, that's...
publishers rather have them do that, but
I suppose because the publishers don't make anything on the secondary market.
Some people think, though, and I've seen studies, or I don't even know if they're studies, but seen comments saying that having used games actually gets people into those stores to then buy new games as well.
Well,
so
yeah.
it's not
you
like
you have a lower price point.
Well, I mean, I guess the argument could be made is that if you look at Steam, which sells games at the normal cost, that you know, $50 or $60 for the first month or two. And then there are steep discounts after that. Like, you know, you can get a game that's 6-12 months old for $5-10 in a lot of cases. Does this mean that without a secondary market, console game publishers would be more apt to allow for something like that?
No,
steep price
no
cuts?
Way.
Probably not.
Thing.
Right?
No way.
Because if you go right now, like, you know, find a game that was out. Find like Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood, right? That was the last Assassin's Creed 2 game. Like, I think that's still $39.
New.
New.
Yeah.
So, but again, that maybe they could argue, well, that's because there is a GameStop right now. We're not getting any money on any of that.
I think that stuff, it's all in flux with the 360. I can't imagine Xbox, you know, being the number one player. And there's been some good articles about how they really have lucked into that role rather than facilitated that, even though Microsoft thinks that they have. But them going and then doing all these draconian things to then make them look worse than PlayStation when console gaming in general is under assault by the iPads and iPhones and mobile gaming and Obama Avenue. I just can't see them making those decisions. But Microsoft certainly isn't known for always making the right decision.
You look at the Surface, that's been going on with the Microsoft Surface for the last 6 months, and you could say they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. And you know, stories coming out saying they have no plan B if Surface doesn't do well.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know. Me personally, I suppose you're going to talk about PS3 real fast, so I'll summarize after you're done.
Sure. The main big story that came out, so you know, ahead of, again, 4 days from now, we'll have the full reveal. I mean, there's a question of how much will we actually learn. We probably won't learn about price. We may not even get like an official real name.
Remember, you may not even get an official picture of the box.
Right. No one's going to be playing anything. It's probably going to be developers talking about like one of the neat things that it's going to have built into it, you know, like whatever that is, and saying how it's going to revolutionize whatever. But one of the things that the Wall Street Journal reported on this week is that the new PlayStation will have the ability to stream PS3 games.
Mm-hmm.
So they Sony bought a company called Gaikai last year, which was a competitor to, I'm forgetting the name of that streaming. They effectively were a streaming company. You could stream video games and play them in not perfect, comparison to having the game installed locally, but it was like a rental service.
Sure.
It did some cool things. So they think that they're turning that into a full-on PS3 streaming service, which will which will work with the new PlayStation, potentially giving the ability to have a kind of a monthly subscription fee to play all the PS3 games that you have never played or that you used to play or whatever.
So all you dumb fuckers that wanted to play your PS3 games that you've already bought on your PS4, you will eventually have to either rent or buy those games again.
Potentially. I mean, if you see...
Like, what about my PS1 games?
Right.
Sorry, Jay.
Though Nintendo has been pretty good about people that bought like Wii Shop games for the Wii, and now they want to play them on the Wii U.
But I'm talking about the actual hard, you know, I've got a copy of Gods of War 3.
Yeah. Don't throw away your PS3.
I guess. I'm going to have double systems. I just think that a lot of these video game companies in general are a bit short-sighted.
You couldn't play your Nintendo games on your Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but you could play any disc-based game. You could play your GameCube games on your Wii.
Yeah, it's that. And you could PS1 play your and you could, PS2. Are you, the only definitely.
You could play your Xbox.
Some.
You could play all of your PS2 games on your PS3. Initially, you could. Absolutely, you could. They changed it later, but okay, the ones I have
now, you can't.
Yeah.
Any PlayStation 3 that you bought in the last 3 years, you can't do that.
But I'm saying that it was there initially. So not that it needs to be. I'm just saying that it's another way to lock stuff.
How much is the PlayStation 4 going to launch at?
I've heard.
And what do you think? Are they going to do another $600 debacle?
I hope not. Right? I think it'll be $450 and $500.
Okay, so two systems, one with like more memory or whatever.
Something, yeah.
More hard drive space.
Which is probably too expensive to start anyway.
Probably need to be a $399 for the one that you want. Jared, do you have any thoughts?
I have no opinion on
that. Jared doesn't care about
that. Are you going to get a next-gen console? Are you going to play Minecraft until the next-gen consoles come out?
Maybe.
When they have rounded boxes of Minecraft?
I'll consider it, but I probably won't buy right away. I'll wait for the first price drop.
This is the first generation that I'm actually playing console games while the Switch is happening since... I want to say, like, Nintendo 64. Okay. I've been either playing PC games during the Switch over or... just not into games during the last few Switches. So this is kind of weird for me. And I was this happened last in 2004.
Yeah.
Do you remember the pre-order process for the Xbox?
It was hard.
Yes.
And I luckily I got one through Best Buy where they shipped one to me, but it was very difficult.
Right.
It was easier for me for the Wii because they were doing like weird pre-orders where you could go, like I went to a Toys R Us on a Sunday morning and they had four of them and I was third in line. But this is a whole different ballgame because you've got two big time power systems coming out at the same time. Is it going to be easier to get one because there's going to be PS4 and Xbox 720 at the same time? It may be, or it may not be. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be.
Xbox 420.
I think if they should just call them Xbox, they should just call them PlayStation.
Right.
Done with it.
Yeah. It's the first Xbox One.
Do you think the rumored higher pricing point is just them kind of tracking their market? And realizing that their core gaming group is just getting older and older and older and probably has more money to spend?
Maybe, but a lot of people are playing casual games, too.
True.
Even within those demographics. So I don't know.
Yeah, but they're playing those on iPhones and iPads and
but
tablets.
But it does take away from what other things
I'm just saying is that the people who are into those games aren't going to be interested in their system anyway.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think there are a lot of people like us that... have new smartphones every 2 years. Gonna have an iPad.
I just have the 3-year-old model that I get every 2 years.
That's true,
but I don't pay for it.
So I mean, I don't know. Like this, you know, having to spend $200 every 2 years for your general media consumption device thing didn't exist in 2004 when these launched originally. So I bet Sony. Who doesn't have many other profitable areas other than the PlayStation right now, and Microsoft are both a little worried.
They should be very worried.
Yeah, about what they're going to do.
Me personally, I probably will... I mean, I'm definitely an early adopter. I probably will get the new Xbox when it comes out.
Yeah.
Not probably. I'm pretty sure I will. But, you know, if a lot of these, you know, rumors come true that they're talking about the draconian methodology that they're...
Would you consider switching to PlayStation?
I don't know.
It's based on where your friends go?
I like Live. I like that whole, like, you know, I've sort of been in it. Yeah, but it's a good system, you know? It works well, so We'll have to see. Okay. We'll have to see. It's an exciting time, but a worrisome time for video game fans right now.
It's very exciting.
It is.
And very worrisome.
Thank you.
GameStop, this is just kind of to add on to this. They say they've done a study that says 60% of customers, I don't know, they didn't define who the customers were, won't buy a new console if it blocks used games. So, you know, that's what GameStop is saying.
They talk a big game now.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll have to see. You know, I mean, it's a integral part of the video gaming experience right now is going, for a lot of people, buying used games. I personally never buy used games.
But you're feeding that market.
But
you'd like to,
it.
You'd like
sell,
to
sell, feed sell it. It. I do sell a lot of games. Yeah.
So, you know, you wouldn't be able to get your 20, $20 back, you know, after a couple months of playing.
Exactly.
Okay, switching
give us,
gears.
Give us our last story because we're running late. All right. So give us your last hit.
Do you guys remember The Twist, the song The Twist?
Chubby Checker?
Yeah.
I prefer the Fat Boys version.
All right. Well, Chubby Checker is currently in... a lawsuit. Oh. No, he's still alive. I didn't know that either.
I think he must have been really young when that song came out because he's still, I think he's in his 70s now, isn't he?
Must be because that song came out in the late 50s.
Yeah.
And his real name is Ernest Evans. Anyway.
It's not Chubby, huh?
Okay. It turns out.
His parents weren't that cruel.
Huh.
Okay, so what's funny about this story is I never thought
about you're going to tell me next that Little Richard wasn't really little. Wasn't really little.
And he's got tons of girlfriends.
Okay, I never thought of the alternate connotations of the name Chubby Checker until this story.
Like, okay, go ahead.
But he's currently suing HP because there was a... It's funny, remember you mentioned the tablet that I used to have? Because there used to be an app for HP tablets that was removed in September of 2012, but it existed at some point, called the Chubby Checker. And it was an app that you took a picture of your wiener, and it would tell you how long your wiener was.
Wow. you tell me this like I didn't know that existed.
Oh, it's hilarious. I saw the headlines. I'm like, I don't understand this. And now I'm glad Adam's bringing it to light.
I thought it was going to be some of frivolous lawsuit, but this sounds like legitimate.
The Verge,
Chubby Checker.
The Verge one sounded, made it sound different. It promises to check the size of, to predict the size of a man's penis based on the shoe size that they're wearing. Maybe there's no
So it's a
taken.
Joke app.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, regardless, it's definitely a joke app. Also, it's called The Chubby Checker, not Chubby Checker.
Okay. Got it.
Naturally, Checker wasn't pleased when he found out about the app's existence. He's now filing a... How much? How much?
$20 million lawsuit.
$500 million lawsuit.
He's going big.
Half a billion.
What?
So he's suing HP. So the problem is the app was removed in 2012, and HP divested themselves of... these tablets in August 2011. Like, they open sourced everything after that. So no one's really sure who Chubby Checker is actually expecting to get money from.
I'm sure Fats Domino was looking for something that's infringing on him.
Fats in there as well.
Yeah.
All Domino apps.
Checker Auto Parts got a beef.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Pretty much.
Everybody wants in. And the app probably made about $500,000.
I'm sure that app made no money.
Yeah. I mean, no. Good luck with that, Chubbs. Yeah. Good luck.
The last thing, Victoria Jackson is a racist. Just throw that out there.
Need to say that again. But okay.
I'll write that down.
We're just checking in. Every show we check in to see where she is, if she's changed her mind.
Right.
Still on the racist scale. Still.
She made a blog post on her website titled, really? Why is there a Black History Month but not a White History Month?
I love that. Is that specious art? Argument, Jared.
It's the same reason why there's no Kids Day.
Right. Yeah. And then she listed a video, or she included a video called Things to Thank White People For, which included the following. Just for the record, white men invented rockets, space travel, airplanes, the automobile, the English language, the USA, the most medical advances, electricity, television, the telescope, the microscope, Ivy League universities, the computer, the internet, and on and on. I think white men should be praised and respected. White Christian conservative men especially should be loved and adored. They were the backbone and originators of the greatest nation on earth. We need more of them now.
And what's your response to that? Because you've always got a clever comeback.
Can you play the clip of Where the White Women At real quick?
I don't have.
Also, Chinese people.
I didn't get the memo. Yeah. Yeah, the Chinese did an awful lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of
maybe black people would have invented a lot of the stuff if they would have been able to, based on the
suppression
of society.
If they were allowed to have guns, then I'm going back to that.
You know,
guy.
I like that.
By the way, we should probably praise the Mongols more because of their devastation across the East and the Middle East, hurting the Chinese and the Middle Eastern nations at the time. It allowed medieval Europe to rise in prominence and spawn all of these fantastic white men. If the Mongols hadn't had their broad swath of destruction, chances are the Chinese would have risen and been the preeminent society.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mongols.
Yeah.
You Mongol.
So, go praise the Mongols.
Take that in your Roseanne Barr imitation.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Anyway.
Stupid.
This wow. This is an epic show.
Yeah, it really is. Well, guys, that was a great news segment.
Thank you.
Let's push into the last segment of Under the Scope. I like to call it Coming Soon. Are things picking up in the world of media?
I don't know. You do this. I'm going to start doing this list.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll start doing it.
Music. Yay!
Oh, look at that.
February
Power Transfer.
February 19th. Music. Atlas Genius.
I can't wait for that album.
Don't know what that is. Major Lazer.
Getting a lot of play.
Love Major Lazer, so I'm happy about that.
I like anything with lasers.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Album from them.
Not a fan.
Speaking of not a fan, February 26th, Bret Michaels. New album coming out. Good Songs and Great Friends.
By not being a fan, you mean super fan.
Right. KMFDM has a new album coming out. Excellent. Those guys can't be in their 50s.
Some people
now.
Will like that.
Not
I'm
me.
Sure.
We'll probably see some of them at MarsCon.
And Shout Out Louds. They have an album.
Okay.
Movies. February 22nd. Dark Skies. What's that?
That is the Kerry Russell. Is that Alien Abduction movie, I think?
Oh, didn't know. And Snitch. What's that? Based on a true story?
I picked it because there's people in there we would know, but I don't know.
That Excellent. Is the sequel to Snatch.
Ah.
They just go through, and the next one will be Snutch.
Mm-hmm. And then Snoochie Boochie.
March 1st, 21 and over. I don't know any of these movies. What's happening?
Yeah. I see these come up as like free passes right. opportunities, and a lot of them I'm passing on because 21 and over is some, it's from like the writer of The Hangover or something. It's
yeah. It looks like shit.
Some college age comedy thing.
Jack the Giant Slayer. Is that a kids movie?
That's the modern... Postmodern day telling of Jack and the Beanstalk, starring Ewan McGregor's in it, but I don't know who else. Famous is in it.
Isn't the dude from Warm Bodies?
Sure,
Nicholas Holt.
We'll say Nicholas Holt is in it.
I think so.
Steve Holt. Yeah. And my favorite title that we're going to look at here, or going to go over. This has the same issue that the Neverending Story Part 2 had. This is The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Yeah, I like that.
The last exorcism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least Die Hard
Slightly
had fun
more
with
last.
It.
The penultimate exorcism.
DVD, February 19th. Argo comes out. Atlas Shrugged, Part 2. The Strike. We should...
Will you be getting Argo, Shane? I'm curious.
No.
No?
Okay.
We should get together and watch Atlas Shrugged 1 and 2.
Just see how it feels. Try it on.
I will be bringing all of my whiskey.
And do nothing.
Two gingers.
Only when you get
an IV, just straight in.
I have Ancient Age, I have two gingers, and I have the single malt scotch, the Macallan.
I love a good single malt sculch.
Sculch.
You might come out of that movie loving it, because you
I think
won't
so.
Have remembered anything except
exactly
how drunk you were.
Right.
Exactly. Baghdad Cafe, Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome. What was that, the movie or something?
It started as a web series. It goes back to the beginnings of Admiral Adama, when he's just a young hotshot pilot. They ran it on the YouTube, like last fall and winter. And I watched half of it, and then I forgot about it. I believe it's actually airing on Sci-Fi tonight. You will
you can watch it, and then you can buy it.
But so anyone who's listening to this show on the release date, you missed it. But then there's an unrated version on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Movie.
So it's really for us. We could listen to our own advice and then go watch it.
I'm going to DVR it, and I'm going to watch it. And there.
Maybe you should send out a flash bulletin.
Maybe.
Via Tumblr.
DVD, February 19th. You got Game of Thrones Season 2. Mm-hmm. So Season 3 must be starting up pretty soon.
March 31st.
On HBO, all
right. Right around the corner.
February 26th, we've got The Master. And, I'm going to change the show. I'm going to go back and rewatch because Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 2 Volume 1 comes out.
Wow.
So, Pink Ranger.
Power Rangers?
All Hey-o. Up in that. I'm not really changing my
Darn it.
My pick.
Like, that would have been more fun.
Video games. Got Crysis 3.
Yes.
Man, Far Cry 3 is a good game.
It is a good game.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. A real word.
Revengeance.
Revengeance.
Oh, that's Avenge Again.
This is the...
The first one didn't take.
more revenge.
This is the newest, Metal Gear solid game. Like
you do a lot of sword cutting in this one, I think.
Core Metal Gear game. I've never played any of them. To completion, anyway. And
he doesn't do anything to completion.
He just likes the plateau.
February 24th, Young Justice Legacy. I don't know what that... I guess it's a Justice League type game.
Yes, I think it's a kids game. But you got to pick something, Adam.
Nothing else coming out that day, huh?
No.
You know what? This is the time with video games where publishers are like, well, let's not have a game come out because the consoles are refreshing. So this might be a weird year, but GTA 5 is coming.
We've got a whole thing. You know, we've got GTA. We've got the new Bungie game, which is being announced
Destiny today. Today is the, yeah.
I'm excited about that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. They should just all delay it to the new system and just be that way. But anyway, Jared, that's news. That's under the scope.
Yeah.
That's a button you should push.
You want to do something about that?
Yeah, let's wrap this bleeper up.
All right.
Under the scope. Yes, indeed, folks. It's that time again for the end of the show. Jared, take it away.
We didn't have any written comments to our last episode.
Lazy.
Apparently not compelling at all to the average listener. So we do have a voicemail. Once again, voicemail privileges being exercised by one, the great Luke Ski, friend of the show. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, it's Luke Ski. Just wanted to say that I think what Adam was trying to say about the internet last time was that because he can remember what it was like at the very beginning when very few people had the internet, it amazes him that today everybody has access to the internet. And he's just making a statement about being able to appreciate the perspective he has from, you know, as being someone who remembers back when there was no internet and then it started and there was only a very few that had it and now everyone has it. He's making a statement of wonderment about the wonderful future we live in where everyone has access to something, and it kind of blows his mind. So I think that's what he was trying to say. On a similar note...
Do you agree?
Is that what you're trying to say? Do you even remember the conversation?
Yes.
Yes, you remember?
Yes, I remember.
Yes, is that what you're trying to say?
It's close enough.
All right.
Although I don't share Adam's rage... I do kind of feel it's a mind-blowing thing that the same guy is directing both Star Trek movies and Star Wars movies.
Oh, I'm mad about that all over again.
Gone back in time and
you're wrong.
Told me, you know, that, you know, in the future, one guy will be directing both the Star Trek movie franchise and the Star Wars movie franchise. My head probably would have exploded. But I'm excited about it. I think J.J. Abrams, did an awesome job with the Star Trek film. And if that was kind of, you know, his audition to George Lucas to take over the other big franchise, you know, more power to him.
The better franchise.
So, yeah, that's it.
He agreed. Bye. 100%,
there you go.
100% right.
Thanks for your comments, Luke. If you would like to be just like friend of the show, the great Luke Ski, well, the only way to attain that level of admiration and respect is to call in on a regular basis to the Scope voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Long distance rates may apply.
Precedence given to drunk dials.
Exactly.
We love those the best.
We should probably... I think it might be a good idea. Maybe I've mentioned this in the past, but come up with like a question of the week or question of the episode that we ask to try to get people to respond.
And then Luke will respond and
foster some...
That'll be the bit.
Well, I'm just... I
like it. I like it.
I can't... All I can do is encourage.
Here's the question of this week.
Question of the week.
Luke is the only A-plus student we have in our class, is what I'm saying.
Using the Chubby Checker app, tell us how big your wiener is.
Yes. I like it.
There we go.
18 inches.
Send in your penis size estimations.
I hit people with it.
We prefer to call the voicemail line, but you can also email at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can write in on our Facebook fan page like that. You can follow us on Twitter, and you can... respond to us there. We are The Scope Show on Twitter. And you can also follow our new Tumblr blog. That is thescopeshow.tumblr.com. Trying to post some relevant nerdy news stories several times a week
you
there.
You do a great job, Jared.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of reblogs.
Jared broke the Han Solo story this week. After I broke it to him.
Yeah. Well, that's you could have done the same thing. You could have taken all the credit if you had just logged into Tumblr.
I don't know how to do that.
I'm trying to encourage you.
I'm trying to buy a new car. What do you want from me?
You do what you got to do. Anyway,
I'm watching the movie Snutch.
As always, if you'd like to support the show, visit our website at thescopeshow.com and follow the link to the Amazon store right there in the left sidebar. Doesn't cost you anything, and we get a small kickback. Helps finance this little endeavor of ours.
I'm hoping for enough money to put towards a down payment on my new car. So wow. Come on, folks. Bring it in.
That's all I got.
Jared, do you have any plugs you want to make?
I do.
Go
As
ahead.
Mentioned in the first break, MarsCon 2013 is happening March 1st through 3rd in Bloomington, Minnesota. If you're going to be there, my band is performing. Friday night, 9 p.m., we're kicking off the music track. We've got a special show planned. A little something different than what we normally
do. I'm looking at your playlist right now. So
you can,
I can see
the songs, but you don't know the framework that's going on around it. That's the real fun.
One of the names of the song is Check My Chubby.
Yeah.
One of the songs has boob in it.
Brand new.
Check My Chubby, checker. Yep.
So, yeah, MarsCon, Friday, March 1st, 9 p.m., Possible Oscar is performing there.
Will you have a new outfit?
No.
To wear?
Will not have a new outfit.
Well, get to it. You got
I may go buy a new shirt between now and then. I may wear that. I wouldn't consider it a new outfit necessarily.
Okay, I would like a new outfit. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, your demand is noted.
All right.
In my ledger.
Adam's got the ledger. Adam, anything to plug?
No.
No?
When you never have anything to plug. Ever since you stopped playing kickball,
nothing
to plug.
I mean, softball starts in a few months. I'm going to be co-managing.
Ooh. Oh.
So does that mean, are you required to chew tobacco, or?
No, the last time I managed a team was when I met Mandy. So,
you're hoping to find your wife?
Expecting to swap her out.
Yeah, are they allowing you younger and fresher? Are they allowing you to deal with the team's funds, the monies?
the geld,
as your people would say.
Ongoing contract. We'll see how it.
Do you have a clever team name?
No.
No. Does the name already exist?
The name already exists.
Are you allowed to change it?
Adam's so cheap, he only lets the team have one glove.
Shared, yeah.
What's your equipment budget for the year?
That's a good question. Did you know? So the.
Now you got him started again.
Softball
2038.
The American Softball Something Association changed all of their bat rules last year, so we actually have to buy new bats.
Is there a salary cap you need to worry about?
Yes.
Okay. What are the free agency rules? When does your season start?
Can't talk.
Is there a rookie contract limit?
Anyone? March 1st.
What order are you picking in the draft?
Something. We're trading up.
When will you stop referring to yourself as the racist Redskin?
The NFL has taken away $18 million of our cap space this year.
Oh, goodness.
Again. So we're dealing with that.
Cups or no cups?
I wear a cup when I play on the left side of the infield. I don't wear a cup if I'm playing first base, which is my usual.
Is that because
the chubby checker with those cups?
I was going to say, is that because one of your nards is bigger than the other?
I just don't
and
like,
it needs more protection.
I don't like wearing cups, but I've been hit enough times when I'm playing third base or shortstop.
And when you're not playing.
And that's just a sucker punch by one of the enemy players.
Yeah. I will point out the last game I played last fall.
I did not expect this to go on this
well. Completely destroyed my ankle.
It's awesome.
So my return, it'll be I'll be like Adrian Peterson, and hopefully RG3. I'll be making my.
I hope you're more like Adrian and less like RG.
That's all I got.
Well, this is exciting. A lot of things clearly are happening for the
chain. Any
of the
plugs?
Scope.
I'm appearing at local car dealerships.
I will
this
be appearing all over the place, and I just want to throw one thing out. I've been dying to tell you guys. Quick question: do you ever get ingrown hairs on your face?
Sure.
Because I had one yesterday. That seriously had been, I've been working on for a month, and I pulled it out finally.
You'd been working on?
Like it was right here. You could see it.
Why don't you just get your wife to do it?
Because you couldn't see it. It just, I had to put on moisturizer and all sorts of stuff, and finally it broke through the skin. And
this
so
is
I,
way worse than the softball conversation.
This is why I don't shave.
So I just grabbed it, and you know how long it was when I pulled it out?
How long?
It was this long. It was like an inch long. It was this beautiful, perfect curl of beard hair
Weird.
On my cheek. I could not believe it. I almost fainted.
And it was just all under the skin?
All you saw was like a half a millimeter of it. It was tiny. And then I kept pulling and pulling. I'm like, oh shit, I'm a mutant. This is like aliens. Beard style.
Well, I'd love to go on for the 7 minutes the remaining of this musical bed, but we should probably wrap this up.
So anybody with ingrown hair technique removal, just let me know. Lukeski, I'm looking at you.
Use single-bladed razors.
That's what they say. Yeah. Single-bladed.
Safety razors.
There we are.
All right.
All right, guys. Wrap it up. Whoa, things are happening. 137 over. We'll talk to you next time. A lot more Scope coming at you later. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-12 21 Scope. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying hasta luego. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.